This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. The House Committee on Financial Services voted to pass the so-called Financial Choice Act in early May, sending the deregulation bill to the entire House of Representatives for a vote sometime in early June. The Financial Choice Act represents an undoing of the modest financial reforms enacted after the 2008 recession, including a gutting of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that was Elizabeth Warren's brainchild. Wall Street firms are thrilled at the Republican Party's allegiance to their bottom line. But with corporate America freed from accountability, won't ordinary Americans pay the biggest price? Joining me to help answer that question is Isaiah J. Poole. He is the communications director at People's Action. Welcome to the program, Isaiah.
Thank you for having me.
Can you begin, Isaiah, by telling us a little bit about what exactly the so-called Financial Choice Act would do briefly? It's a pretty big and complicated bill because there are a lot of regulations that it's trying to address, and we're learning about some of the details that are buried in it. But overall, how does it actually undo the work that was done after the 2008 recession?
Well, you just said it. It undoes the work that was done after the 2008 recession. Let's remember that in 2000, we got to where we ended up in 2008 because the financial services sector was running wild, engaging in practices that range from essentially fraudulent mortgages to banks that were taking depositors' money and basically gambling with that money on the stock market in ways that were fundamentally unsound, and put the American economy and the life savings of millions of people in jeopardy. The Dodd-Frank Financial Reform Act was designed to rein all of that in, to put some boundaries around the financial sector and to hold the financial sector accountable. It also created a Financial Consumer Protection Bureau that was to be a consumer advocate in the financial sector. All of that now is at risk.
And many people saw the Dodd-Frank regulations as a modest first step, right? I mean, it was not as though those were the regulations that were now going to save us from the next recession. It was supposed to be a starting point.
It certainly, from the standpoint of organizations like People's Action, it was nothing more than a starting point. There was still within the Dodd-Frank law, didn't have, for example, what's referred to as the Glass-Steagall Act, where there used to be, when that law was in effect until the 1990s, there was a wall between what we known as normal retail consumer banking and Wall Street financial speculation. That wall was eliminated, and that was one of the big factors in the 2008 crisis. That wall was never restored by the Dodd-Frank Act, for example.
Let's talk about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which was one of the strongest institutions to emerge from the post-recession era. This, as I mentioned, was the brainchild of Elizabeth Warren, now Senator Elizabeth Warren. In fact, it sort of put her on the map as being the person, you know, who would stand up to Wall Street's excesses. And it is, I believe, the only real federal government agency that advocates for consumers who might have been wronged by corporations. What has the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau done in its short lifespan, and what would the GOP's bill do to it?
Well, the most concrete thing that the CFPB has done is that it's recovered literally billions of dollars back to consumers who have been ripped off by various financial schemes. You know, one of the most recent areas was the scandal involving Wells Fargo and the creation of bogus accounts. A person would go into a Wells Fargo branch and asking for one thing, and they would end up with three or four accounts that he did not ask for, because Wells Fargo employees were under a under pressure to create as many new accounts as they could. Once that scandal was exposed, the CFPB helped people like the Los Angeles City Attorney and other local enforcement agencies to hold Wells Fargo accountable, and got those accounts shut down, got money returned to consumers. That's the kind of thing. We're right now in a battle with payday lenders that have been incredibly unscrupulous. And the CFPB has been leading that fight. We have been encouraging the agency to release new regulations on payday lenders. And if this Choice Act is passed, all of that will be short-circuited.
I understand that so far the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau has returned billions of dollars into the pockets of consumers. It's a very concrete way in which it has basically helped to get some justice, right, for people who have been ripped off by corporations.
Yes, and you know, as you pointed out before, it's the one agency that really only answers to us, the consumer. There are other enforcement agencies in the federal government that are designed to help police the financial sector, but this agency was specifically created to be insulated from political pressure from Congress. It is funded through the Federal Reserve. Its director has an appointment that is staggered. It's sort of like the FBI director. It doesn't automatically coincide with the change of administrations. So there were specific ways in which the agency was designed to not be captured by the political forces, the economic forces that have captured Congress. That is precisely the reason why Republicans have placed this in their gun sights, because the lobbyists, the financial industry lobbyists that have bought most of the Republicans in Congress do not want this agency to be out of the reach of the political claws of the Republican Party.
So basically, I understand among the things that the Republican Party's Financial Choice Act would do would be to enable the executive branch to name the head of the CFPB, right? So that it would bring it under direct control of whoever occupies the White House. And so
yes,
become a political tool in a way.
It would become a political tool. And if you add to that a panel in which it's answerable to agencies that are arguably captured by the financial sector, then the agency no longer becomes an agency that works on behalf of consumers and does not have to worry about pressure from the financial industry. You no longer have that.
And we remember when the CFPB was first enacted and put into place, Republicans were among its biggest critics. They screamed and shouted about all the terrible things that this agency would do if it came to pass. It came to pass. And what it did was, of course, put a little bit more money back into the pockets of American wallets, right? Ordinary Americans.
And banks are still making record profits. The one difference is that there, at least there's a little bit more fairness. There's a little bit more disclosure that's happening. There's a lot more that needs to be done. I think when people go in to get a mortgage on a house, there is still a lot of areas where we need to police more aggressively and to make sure that consumers understand what they are getting into. This is not something, by the way, some part of the Republican counter argument is that consumers are already well informed. Well, actually, there are is so much gamesmanship that takes place in the financial industry that if you don't have a referee who steps in and says, "Look, that's gamesmanship. You're taking advantage of people, and that's not allowed. You're taking advantage of, you're distorting the facts. You're obscuring realities." I just don't think that that is something that is fair, and we ought to be acting against it.
Among the other things that the Financial Choice Act would do, I understand, is lift the cap on fees that debit and credit card companies, banks that have debit and credit cards, can charge you. So fees, if you don't pay your balance in time, et cetera. I mean, there's so many Americans who are deep in debt, who are not doing as well as Wall Street, have relied on, being able to put their groceries on a credit card, but then with the fees that add up, the exorbitant fees that add up, they end up finding themselves in a hole of debt that they can't dig themselves out of and end up owing so much more than they actually borrowed. The Dodd-Frank regulations and other regulations attempted to do something about this. Now, I understand Financial Choice Act would lift that cap on the fees that they can charge.
One of the things that one of the fights that the CFPB took on very early in its history was this practice in which if you were using you were using a credit card, for example, but let's say or you were writing checks against your checking account. And but you made a deposit on the same day. You go to the grocery store you go to the grocery store in the afternoon after you make a deposit in your bank account in the morning. But then what the bank would do, even though you made a deposit of before you went to the grocery store to write your check against that deposit, what they would do is debit the check that you wrote first, even though you made the deposit of your on a check first, so that the bank could collect a fee and claim that you had overdrawn your account. That was stuff I've actually been a victim of the way
Many
that
of
they
us
would
have,
count.
yeah.
And the CFPB came out and said, no, you can't you can't do stuff like that. That you there have been requirements that banks have to be far more transparent about the fees that they charge. So,
So
there's
basically, this is an anti-consumer bill.
well, it's very much an anti-consumer bill. It's a pro-financial industry bill. The whole rationale for the so-called, what I would call the Bad Choice Act, is that the whole rationale is that banks should do what they want and consumers should just fend for themselves and protect themselves the best way they can without a federal government to be their
And
advocate.
of course, the poorer you are, the harder it is for you to protect yourself from big banks. Those with money never have to worry about putting their deposit in time to, before the check is written. I mean, these are the sorts of things that make less wealthy people more vulnerable. One of the other things that the Financial Choice Act would do is eliminate the public consumer complaint database, Isaiah. Apparently, this is a database that the CFPB set up to basically collect complaints from consumers, make them public. There are apparently over a million consumer complaints that this agency has handled so far, and they're in a public database. And the GOP doesn't think this database should exist. They just want to eliminate it entirely. This is incredible.
Well, it's a part of a trend that we've seen throughout government since the Trump administration has come into power, which is the suppression of information, particularly information that might put corporations in a bad light. So the Obama administration admirably opened up a lot of these databases. And, you know, it's just like what, you know, we have services like Yelp and other rating services. Even if you buy something on Amazon or at retail website, you get to rate the product, right? And this is what the federal government had opened up, the ability for consumers to make a public statement about how corporations were behaving. And if you file a complaint, well, it's understood that it's a complaint. You take that at face value, but at least you have a public airing of that complaint that is visible. You can track it. Organizations can compile information based on those complaints. Businesses themselves can compile their own information and do a rebuttal if they want to, or simply change their practices. Whatever the case, there's public disclosure, but it's a public disclosure is a very uncomfortable thing for businesses that want to continue to not act in the public interest and not want to be held accountable to the public.
Now, among the criticisms of the Dodd-Frank regulations was, and I don't know where this is coming from, maybe you can set the record straight. Republicans and conservatives say that it decimated community banks, that it created this unaccountable agency, the CFPB, that it diminished access to capital for small businesses and ordinary people. Did it do any of those things?
There's no evidence of that. You know, one of our part of our coalition is the Main Street Alliance, and the Main Street Alliance is comprised of small business people around the country. The Main Street Alliance is very much opposed to the Choice Act and the actions that it would take. These are small businesses that have been thriving under the current regime of Dodd-Frank. They appreciate the ability to have a banking sector that is required to operate within the bounds of fairness. Keep in mind that small businesses really do, in fact, have the most to lose when big banks are allowed to run amok.
Well, one Republican writing an op-ed in USA Today, Bill Huizenga, who is chairs the House Subcommittee on Capital Markets, Securities and Investment. This is what he said about the Financial Choice Act. It says, by enacting this legislation, community banks and credit unions can utilize their resources for lending and servicing community customers' needs. He claims that under Dodd-Frank, the largest banks have gotten bigger and small banks have disappeared at an alarming rate. Even worse, Dodd-Frank enshrined too big to fail, which is why some of the largest financial institutions support it. Isaiah, this reminds me of the debate around healthcare reform, where the Affordable Care Act, which was a deeply flawed act, but an improvement over what we had before, ended up being this behemoth that the Democrats defended. But because it had some failings, the Republicans used those failings to want to undo it completely instead of actually improve it. So because Dodd-Frank wasn't good enough, Republicans, instead of saying, let's make it better, they want to make it worse. But they're using, you know, the fact that it didn't go far enough to make their case.
Well, I think you've hit on a very good point, which is that We would be making a mistake as progressives if our reflexive response was to defend Dodd-Frank to the death. What we need is true reformation of our financial services system. We need to interject more competition. That's why many of us have been supporting things like postal banking as an alternative. Particularly for lower income people. Every community has a post office, and that post office can be utilized to offer basic banking services. Decades ago, the post offices used to do this. And so it's just a matter of introducing a 21st century version of the services that they used to provide. There are other things that we can do to make sure that low-income people and small businesses have banking services that they can use. What we don't need to do is create a system, you know, if your concern was concentration in the banking industry, the worst thing that you could do is take the fences away, tell the police who are policing the financial sector to stand down and let the big guys run amok. That's the worst thing you can do, because there will be even more concentration as a result. We've seen that in other deregulated industries.
So finally, let's talk about what's next and what organizations like People's Action is calling for. I mentioned the bill, this nearly 600-page bill, has already passed the House Financial Committee House Finance Committee. So it hits to the entire House, the Republican-dominated House, for a vote as early June. So we're talking about now, in the next few days, possibly. How can people urge their members of Congress? Are you calling on people basically to call their elected representatives? And, you know, even if those representatives are Democratic or Republican, and tell them to oppose it?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's important, whether your member of Congress is a Democrat or a Republican, to call them up and say that you oppose the CHOICE Act. There's some temptation for Democrats to get behind this. And I think it's real important to say, no, there's no public support for deregulating the financial sector and decimating the Dodd-Frank bill. We need to build on it, not decimate it. And we also have a website called familiescan'twait.org that's specifically targeted at the payday lending industry. If you go to that site, you will see the devastation that the payday lending industry in particular is causing consumers. That is a big reason why we need to not fall for this deregulation scheme that the Republicans are trying to impose.
And the payday lending industry had the CFPB was policing that industry, right, to an extent?
Yeah. Yes, and what is in the process of putting together new regulations on that industry.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Isaiah, for spending this time with us. We'll post a link to People's Action's website, as well as the one that you just mentioned, and the article that you wrote recently about the CFPB on our site later today. Thanks so much, Isaiah.
Thank you.
My guest is Isaiah J. Poole, the Communications Director at People's Action. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, and before we end this story, I want to play for you a video that was created by US PIRG about the Financial Choice Act. They call it the Wrong Choice Act.
Wall Street is working with Congress on legislation that tears down decades of consumer protections, putting your wallet and our economy at risk. The 2008 financial crash was a nightmare. Wall Street's risky practices and weak regulations triggered the worst financial crisis since the Great Depression. So in 2010, Congress passed the Dodd-Frank Act, which, among other provisions, created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB. In under 6 years, it's already returned nearly $12 billion to over 29 million consumers. But a dangerous new bill in Congress would gut Dodd-Frank and the CFPB. It's called the Financial Choice Act, but that's a misnomer. A more accurate name would be the Wrong Choice Act. It would allow Wall Street banks to gamble again, turn back the clock on consumer protections, even getting rid of safeguards we had before 2008, risking the need for yet another taxpayer bailout. The bill also takes aim at the CFPB by limiting its ability to investigate and take action against illegal financial schemes. The Wrong Choice Act and similar attacks in Congress need to be stopped, but unfortunately, the bill has already cleared its first hurdle, getting voted out of the House Financial Services Committee. Too many legislators on the committee sided with banks over consumer protections. But some legislators stood with consumers. Now it's on its way to a full vote by the entire House of Representatives. Tell your representative to vote no on the Wrong Choice Act and defend the CFPB.
And that's a short video created by US PIRGS, what PIRG stands for, the Public Interest Research Group, about the Financial Choice Act. They call it the Wrong Choice Act. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.